hat.
Welcome back to the Jeff Paul Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line, if you would. That's the best way to be in touch. Coming up in about an hour, see Senator Steve Livingston from up in Scottsboro. We'll talk gas prices and some other issues of state importance. May get to more on that in just a moment here. But joining us now on the program, I'm very pleased to bring on my next guest. He's the author of The Chief's Chief, set to be released on December 7th. Make sure you go check that out. Check it out on Amazon or wherever you like to buy your books. But Mark Meadows, former chief of staff for Donald Trump, is on the line with us. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be with you and certainly all the patriots that have tuned in.
Hey, you're very kind. We're very glad to get you on here. Well, let's kick it off here. New book coming out. Tell us a little bit about what we should expect from this release.
Well, I mean, if you are someone who loves Donald Trump and what he accomplished in his first 4 years, I think you'll enjoy this book. It's not written as most of the other books from a left-leaning perspective from people that weren't in the room. Actually, I bring the reader actually into the Oval Office, how decisions were made, some of the great stories that could only be told by either me or President Trump, and tried to give people a glimpse of the president that I had the honor of serving as his chief of staff. And we take a few people to task, like the Dr. Fauci's and the General Milley's and the Secretary Esper's and people like that. And so I think the readers will find it as an enjoyable read if they're a Donald Trump fan.
Yeah, so, and you were there, I guess, when things sort of got a little topsy-turvy with the COVID pandemic and responding to that.
Yeah.
So you had to deal with that element and all the other pressures that came with that.
Well, we did. We obviously had the China virus coming in from China. We had the economy that we had to deal with. We actually had a number of riots across the country, and certainly then had to deal with a Supreme Court nomination as well as a re-election. So it was a very, very busy year, probably the hardest year that I've ever had as an adult. And yet, when you get to work with President Trump, you get to see his love for the country and his work ethic. I outline that in the book. He would work around the clock, and no was never an acceptable answer. He wanted to make sure that the America First agenda, and more importantly, the American people, were treated properly and with respect, and he was 24/7 on that mission.
And now we get this contrast here. Joe Biden in the White House made all these promises, as one might do on a presidential campaign trail. But I think discovering that it's a lot harder to govern than it was to campaign, at least on one hand. But furthermore, I mean, the comparison, if you compare the last administration to this administration, you got to be wondering, there's a lot of buyer's remorse out there today.
Well, there's a lot of buyer's remorse. I think there are a number of people who never thought that Joe Biden would be this bad this quickly. I can tell you the president and I were talking, President Trump and I were talking not too long ago, and he said, Mark, can you ever imagine it would get this bad this quickly? And the answer was no, even though you knew that it was going to take a real leader in the Oval Office. But you know, to leave the border open, to leave gas prices going through the roof, to basically have a war on oil and gas at the same time, and then not to expect what he's seeing is just abysmal. And that's not even mentioning the Afghanistan withdrawal, where he should have done things very differently. And had he done them very differently, 13 service members would not have given their lives.
And kind of comparing the two administrations, I think the Biden administration is way more beholden to it. You know, they always talk about the right base, and then the conservatives and the Republicans are being led around by this rabid, crazy base. But I think that's way more apparent in this Biden administration, based on what you said, Afghanistan, based on energy policy, based on all of these different things that they've done, COVID-19, what they are allowing to guide them is maybe more ideological than pragmatism.
Well, it's certainly not science, and we know that it's not science. We knew that it was never about science, and if it had been about science in terms of the COVID response, with the Biden administration, we would have seen something very different. We would have seen actually a border that got secure very quickly, and the mandates that they put on freedom-loving Americans would be actually put on the people coming across our border illegally. And yet that didn't happen. And when we see this, you're right, they're so beholden to a far left extremist kind of view, a communist, socialist, viewpoint. And bluntly, moderate Joe Biden doesn't exist. He may have existed on the campaign trail, but he hasn't existed since January 20th.
Yeah, and it really is. I mean, I guess they recognize who brought them to the dance or whatever. But this goes beyond just a Biden administration, as you know, having served with Nancy Pelosi. I think there's something else going on here, Congressman. That they know this might be the last shot they get for a while. That they have the House, the Democrats got the Senate, and they got the White House. And they're going to try to push this as far left as they can, knowing that this may be the last opportunity that you have everything lined up their way for, perhaps a generation.
Well, you're exactly right. I think probably the biggest thing why we see this Build Back Better plan being pushed is because it has socialist policies in place that will be there forever. If they get this signed into law, they will be there forever. And so it will not just be a helping hand. It will basically be government telling people how to live and what to do and how to do that. And the sad part about that, Jeff, is that when you look at it, the Build Back Better, the only thing that I can see that Biden has built back better is the Chinese, the Taliban, and perhaps building back better the drug cartel because of his open border policies at our southern border. It's a sad commentary. I don't see anything that is better under the Biden administration than it was when I had the opportunity to serve President Donald J. Trump.
And it's like you were saying, no one expected it to go this fast. I mean, typically the question we ask every election is, are you better off now than you were 2 years ago or 4 years ago? But you could put this, are you better off now than you were 11 months ago? And it's obvious, I think, for many Americans. I don't know whose lives are indeed better off. But now, granted, we are in the middle of COVID, and that somehow maybe changes the equation a little bit. But things on a grand scale have deteriorated in a hurry.
Well, they have, and I think it's a real easy thing to say that I'm not better off today than I was 10 months ago. But the sad part about it is I'm not better off than I was, oftentimes 10 years ago. And when you start doing the comparison from 10 months to 10 years ago, it had to go downhill very quickly. And Donald Trump, President Trump, is the only one I know of that knows how to fix it quickly. He could fix inflation very quickly, and what he would have done is he would have all had us all in the room saying, all right, let's come up with a plan, let's plan to implement it by the end of the week. And what do we have Joe Biden doing? Hoping that things get better with time. This is not a fine wine. It doesn't get better with time. It just gets worse.
Yeah, and Republicans got a lot to run on here. Obviously, you don't want to see this happen to the country, but just how what is the messaging other than I find it, this is what the left did, that everything Trump did was negative. Do Republicans need to look beyond just everything Biden is doing is bad and take a different approach that, yes, we recognize this, but we got to have solutions. We got to offer policy suggestions, et cetera.
Well, they definitely do. The good thing is God still reigns over the affairs of nations. We know that, and I know that. And so as we look at that, what it takes is a real forward-looking positive approach that what we can do is actually bring wage growth back. We don't have to mandate it from Washington, D.C. We can look at limited government as being the best kind of government. And the very fact is that when you spend money in Washington, D.C., it's not the government's money. It's everybody that's listening in right now. They pay taxes. It's their money. And so let's be prudent with it the way that we do it. Now, what that does take is actually a plan to actually work on. I never was for term limits. I'm now for term limits. Having served in Congress, I can realize that the people that do the most damage are the ones that have been there the longest. And when we start to see a positive vision for America, whether it is looking at voter integrity, we need to look at election integrity. How do we make sure that it's easy to vote but hard to cheat? We've got to work with that, and that happens at a state level. So, you know, you've got people that are coming on that can weigh in on that. But if we try to fix it from Washington, D.C., sadly, things normally don't get better if Congress is interacting. Leave it to limited government and liberties, and that normally serves us well.
Joined by Mark Meadows. He's a former chief of staff for President Donald Trump, also a former congressman from North Carolina. Mark, you've seen it on both sides, executive branch and the legislative branch. We had one of your colleagues on earlier in the program, Gary Palmer, congressman here in Alabama, and we were talking about the whole idea about term limits and, you know, the people that are really, and this is what it looks to me like the Biden administration, a lot of you've seen in Congress, is to make sure they get their people in these parts of government where they become career civil servants, career bureaucrats, and they're not really subject to the politics of the day. They're not answerable to the American people. And the counter to that was always Congress. Well, how do you do that? If you go with term limits, do you run the risk of having these seasoned bureaucrats that know the ways of the swamp taking on, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington, somebody maybe not as well versed in this? I mean, how do you balance
that? You do run that risk, but here's the other problem is that I find that the boldness of a member of Congress goes down the longer they're in Washington, D.C. So even though you've got bureaucrats that want to rein it in and they want to have it their way, the way that you fix that is through the executive branch, and it's part of what President Trump and I have talked about. I've got it outlined in the last chapter of the Chief, exactly what we need to do. You need to be slow to hire and quick to fire. And we don't change that. We need to change our civil service work policies where if they're not doing a good job, then we ask them to use their talents elsewhere. And so in doing so, you find that freshman members of Congress normally are a lot more bold and outspoken than somebody that's been there a lot longer. And the excuses get longer, not the boldness gets longer the longer somebody stays there. So as I look at that, it is all about not only campaigning as a conservative, but also legislating as a conservative. And if you look in the mirror and you're not making a difference, it's time to go home.
And to tell me, what are these bureaucracies, and we watch this all throughout the Mueller saga, you know, the Department of Justice, and you hear these left-wing pundits come on and they'll say that we need an independent Department of Justice. It shouldn't be subject to what the president wants. Well, I didn't elect the attorney general. We didn't elect the deputy U.S. attorney for whatever district. It seems to me this notion that the DOJ is its own thing, it doesn't seem constitutional, doesn't seem in the spirit of America, but it was something that Donald Trump had to deal with all throughout his presidency.
Well, here's the thing is what we don't want to ever do is weaponize justice, the Justice Department or the intel community. And sadly, we've seen some bad actors that have done both of those things. And yet, when we look at it, it's part of the executive branch. I think what people misinterpret is that we need to make sure that Lady Justice has a blindfold on and it doesn't treat one person one way and another way. And yet, what we, the suggestion is out there is that we continue with DOJ to say that they need to be independent. Well, investigations need to be independent. When we look at upholding the rule of law, it certainly is something that not only Donald J. Trump espouses, but every American should support. And the left, what they really want to, that's code word for they want the DOJ to do their bidding instead of actually allowing the facts to garner the decisions.
And last question, we'll get you out of here on this. I'm sure you're aware Adam Schiff on the Sunday show, one of them, I forget which one it was, really, really saber rattling about the January 6th commission. Does that change anything from your perspective about whether you're going to talk to these guys or how you're going to respond to their subpoena?
Well, it doesn't change anything. We've been working on an accommodation, Jeff, for a long time. And what I've told them is if I can share with the committee non-privileged information that doesn't waive the executive privilege that Donald Trump has put forth, it's not my privilege to waive, and I'm not going to be the first chief of staff to do that. At the same time, if I can come in and share non-privileged information that I have, I'll be glad to do that. Not going to be compelled to do it. I'll be glad to do that voluntarily. But if we're going to do that, if I'm going to do that, what I think they will find is Donald Trump or no one else in the West Wing had any advanced knowledge of the security breach that was going to happen at the Capitol on January 6th. It will be very disappointing to them. And that's really what I will be focusing on. And so we'll see. We've been, these are complex legal matters. Our attorneys have been dealing with their attorneys for several weeks now. Hopefully something will come of it.
The book is The Chief's A Chief out December 7th. Y'all check it out. Mark, thanks for making time for us. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jeff. Take care. God bless.
Thank you. That was former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows on the line. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is The Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.